morning. Today is Thursday, January the 21st, 21st day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck.
Good morning. I'm never going to get rid of that pause.
Never, as long as I'm here.
Enjoying that nice, I almost wore shorts today. It's nice out there, nice and warm.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I woke up too early.
My wife said I shouldn't wear shorts with a suit jacket, so I didn't.
No, but with a tie, it's always looked rather snappy. What, can you imagine living in a climate where the khaki shorts and the pith hat was all acceptable? That's what everybody did?
Shoot, I thought that was acceptable when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm thinking there are probably spiders and snakes and things like that that I don't want to be too close to in those kinds of climates.
Yes.
Our quote this morning, let's see, I've got James Garfield.
Okay.
Hey, I got a trivia question about Garfield School. I know you didn't go there, but we can talk about it. Quote, next importance to freedom and justice is popular education, without which neither freedom nor justice can permanently be maintained.
Amen.
Yeah. Do you know why Garfield School is named Garfield School?
I do not know the answer to that question.
For the town of Garfield.
Okay.
That was located where Freshwater is. I mean, Freshwater's had four names.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's a mill
most
there.
Most of us are familiar with Freshwater and Wrangletown, right?
Yes. Yep.
Before that was Garfield, and before that was Hardscrabble.
Never heard of Hardscrabble. Never heard that one.
And Garfield School is sitting on the site of the town of Garfield.
Hmm.
So when you see all the old pictures, you know, of them pulling down the logs?
Right, right.
That was on the road. The town was over to the right, which the pictures depict.
Right, right. It's amazing. All the little towns around here on the North Coast at once were.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of those little secrets that are...
Yes, generally built up around
should be
mill.
Exposed.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of exposing, how's life in the school?
Life's good in the school. We're gearing up. Actually, as soon as we pass the first of the year, we start talking about the next school year. So we are already talking about the 16-17 school year, where we have open enrollment going on right now and enrolling those new kindergartners coming in for school and all those students coming into our two middle schools, Winship and Zane, and then, of course, Eureka High School.
Any big change this year to next year? Buying a fancy piece of equipment or doing something that is wow?
One of the things, well, we're doing something that's wow every day. We're,
Molding
the minds of young people, and that's something that's definitely wow. But I will say this.
Okay, touche. 2K, baby, 2K.
I will say this. One of the things that we're really focusing on in Eureka City Schools is we want some consistency, and it's nice that I've been here. Next year will be going on 5 years, so I've been here for four full years. Have no intention of going anywhere anytime soon. Have some consistency in the district and consistency with staffing. The most inconsistent piece we have going on, of course, is we have a veteran teaching staff, so, and we are retiring many out.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of what is the goal? Where is the finish line? Whether it's this year's finish line, whether it's the budget finish line, whether it's the end of the high school educational experience finish line. Is that line changing? Does it move?
Well, you know, that's an interesting story because as an educator, we like to go out and mow the lawn. And the reason we like to go out and mow the lawn is because when we're done mowing the lawn, we can look back and say, wow, lawn looks nice. We got it done. In education, you don't know sometimes for 20 years where that line is, because students are continuing through the process and you have no idea the impact that you had on those students. And it's an evolving process from when they enter now in the transitional kindergarten as a four-year-old all the way through when they graduate high school out of the traditional K-12 system. And you just don't know the impact that you've had on those students. And there's different types of students that are involved in the system, from students that are going on to Ivy League colleges down to students that need a good, strong out of high school education as well. So they're, we call it post-secondary education, something out of high school that's a job-specific training. And so we have the whole gamut of those students. And the thing that's really changed is we've worked really hard on our dropout rates. And that's not just here in Humboldt County, but across the state. And it's really made an impact on the number of students that are graduating. You rewind just 10, 15 years ago, and the dropout rate was estimated, because we never used to track it very well, the dropout rate was estimated to be somewhere in the 1 out of 3. So we only had about 66 or even lower graduation rate. And now statewide, we're pushing up into the 90%. So many more students are staying in school.
Has it changed, or has the tracking changed? Because I can remember having conversations with Gary Eagles and Louis Booker before him, saying that, you know, we track in system. And once they transfer, the records go with them, and we really don't know.
That's the way it used to be.
It seems like that is such a large spread, or the gap has been narrowed so significantly. Unrealistic is kind of what my first thought was. Oh, yeah, right. No. You're just following the kids better, so that the information right about the individuals, so maybe it was 90% before, and now it's 95%, which is still great. But it's not that, you know, a 50% washout?
That's actually
shrunk. I mean, that seems huge.
Nationwide, there's actually been a lot of studies out there about that, and that's real, that it was a 30% washout rate. 1 out of every 3 students were not graduating from
high
school.
At the turn of the century.
That's correct. Yep. Now,
GED counts as graduating, right?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so the kids that were bored and accelerated and busted through and went to college at 15, they were considered not completing?
Right.
Because they weren't on the senior class roll, so to speak?
Right. So, and that's not very many students. Not very many students.
No, I understand.
At all. So what's happened now is we have this new thing called, and it's not so new anymore, it's been going on for about 10 years, it's called CalPADS. And that is a state.
Cow pads.
Yes. Those are cow pies.
Okay. Yeah, I knew your FFA background would come into play.
So anyways, it's a statewide tracking system where we actually have students entered and we're able to track them around the state. Because before it was just like you said, we used to search for how can we get rid of this CUME file so we don't count them as a dropout. And the only way you could get rid of a CUME file in the past is another school requesting it, saying, hey, I have Brian enrolled here at Podunkville High School or wherever it is. And so we were able to get that CUME file out of the dead folder list and make sure that it counted as a graduation.
So by keeping keeping kids engaged by increasing the graduation level, have things been dumbed down to make it easier, you know, lowering the bar, so to speak, so that more can jump over it? Because I would think, counterintuitive, that if you were raising the bar, raising the standards, making it more difficult, that you're not going to be having a higher level of retention.
So I would say no, that it hasn't been dumbing down at all. What we've done is we've done a better job in the K-12 system of educating students. It's not something that you change overnight. For instance, the Common Core Standards, now called the new California State Standards. They don't call them the Common Core Standards because Common Core is a bad word in some states. But what has happened there is Common Core has only been around for a couple of years now, and full implementation has only been realistically happening for maybe 2 years in most school districts, and some school districts don't even have full implementation now. And so if you think about that, if you're in high school right now, you've only had a couple years of Common Core standards. So it's not like all of a sudden you have this new education system in you. You're brought up under a portion of the old California standards and a portion of the new Common Core standards. So in order to implement a new process like that, it's really a K-12 process. And those students, really truly Common Core, are in first or second grade this year.
So they have to push through the system.
Right. Right. And so if you go back to your question, are we dumbing it down? I would say, no, we've changed the process and we've become more proactive to find ways of intervention that we never used to do. Intervention used to be go work for the sawmill. Intervention now is actually classes that are happening out there to work very hard to bring students up to grade level.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Fred, the classroom dynamic, as you're going through some of these changes and challenges, how do you describe to somebody who is, let's say, 20 years out of school?
Well, that's interesting.
Or 30 years out of school, how things have changed. I mean, it wasn't wonderful la-la. It certainly wasn't a panacea when we were going through, but there was accountability. Kids were out on suspension. If someone was pregnant, they did not attend class. There weren't special accommodations for them. We didn't have as many athletic teams. I mean, there were a lot of things that were going on then that don't seem to exist anymore.
It's interesting. If you think about what some of the old timers around would say about the kids today, we've all heard the same, oh, these darn kids today. Heard that one before?
You know, I heard them about when we were going through. Because today, but most of us are going jaw drop with the technology and the ability that the kids have got to manipulate and to use the gear that's out there now. You know, before we had a tough time threading the film projector, right? And there was one or two kids that could do it in the class, and they were kind of seen as techno geeks.
Right.
And now
I was the VHS generation, though.
You know, yeah. I'm checking off all the phrases that I normally respond to a situation like that. And it could be the end of the show before I speak again. But, so, I mean, that concept has changed so dramatically now. If you don't know how to do a PowerPoint in the fourth grade, you're behind.
And actually, PowerPoint is really not used much anymore.
Dandy.
PowerPoint is becoming a thing of the past. Everything we're talking about in schools now has to do with the Google Drive and Google Presentation. And we're using Google Chromebooks. And everything is evolving. And guess what? What we're teaching students on right now is not what they're going to be using when they're out in their career world, because technology is changing so drastically. But what I will say is kids today are the same as kids were 50 years ago. But what's different is how they're interacting with each other and how they're interacting with society and how they're interacting with technology. So the tools that are in front of them are different than what they used to be. But if you take a look at the group of kids that we have today, it's the same thing. We have the vast majority of kids are fantastic kids. I remember when I was a vice principal and man, I just couldn't be a vice principal for more than 2 years because all you dealt with was the 10% of the student population that was in trouble all the time. And it was really disheartening because you started to lose your faith in the education system because you were dealing with the students that were just a pain in the rear.
So what put them there? Was it the lack of these changes that you were referencing earlier in this show? Was it drug use and things at home that weren't going on, nobody paying attention to them, you know, the acting out stuff? Was it mental deficiencies?
It's the whole gamut.
There's
got to
be some trends
ago.
There also in that 10% population.
Sure. There are trends, and the biggest trend I would say are students that just don't fit the traditional mold of sitting in front of a teacher for an hour at a shot, six times a day, in a high school, because that's where I was an assistant principal, was a high school, and they just couldn't handle it. It was overload for them, and so they acted out. It's much like, and I'm going to take an extreme example here, it's much like the people that end up in prison. They get in the system, they find out that the system isn't that bad, they don't have anything to lose, and so they keep entering the system and discipline.
Because of familiarity.
Right. Right. Okay. Even as an assistant principal, there's only so much you can do.
So were the kids acting out because they didn't have coping skills because of the lack of the social skills that weren't developed? Or were they, this is kind of my lot in life, so to speak? Or, I mean, I can't imagine you and me sitting down in a high school classroom six times a day for an hour and not having our personalities resonate. We're going to go dingy. I mean, we're not going to sit still for an hour, let alone get up, move around a little bit, stretch your legs, get back down, tackle the task, not listen to somebody up there who knows maybe more than what we do on a topic, go blah, 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 blah.
So I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I was never sent to the assistant principal's office, but what I will say
could you project yourself now in that classroom, Fred, today, and would you be one of the 10 or would you be one of the 90?
I would be one of the 90.
So you'd figure out.
I would figure it out, because that's almost all of our students figure it. It's a matter of do you really want to buck the system? And I'm not a real system bucker. I'm very opinionated, and I have, Fred's way of doing things, obviously, but I'm also someone who drives down the safety corridor at 55 because I don't want a ticket. So within, 55, pushes the limit a little bit, but it also isn't enough where I think I'm probably going to get pulled over. And the same can be true when you get into the classroom. And those students that are pushing that speed limit and pushing it because they don't have anything to lose. What does it really matter to them? Those are the students that are the most challenging to deal with, because guess what? At home, that's what life is like all the time. And the 18 hours a day that they're away from school is so much more difficult than the 6 hours a day that they're in school.
So there's not too many in that group who would take the Samoa Bridge or Old Arcata Road. Get to the same place, but a different way.
Right.
So that they're not having to conform to the vast majority going 55 miles an hour.
I think some of those students would jump in the bay and try to swim.
Okay.
It's just
the ability, baby. Let's go.
Well, that's the problem. They jump in the bay and then they realize, wow, this wasn't such a good idea.
But those are the kids that you're going to cycle out of that 10% after they make that realization.
Used to be
now,
you'd cycle them out and go through. Even back when I was an assistant principal, if a kid looked at you wrong, you're suspended. If a kid looked at you wrong three times, okay, you're expelled, you're not coming back, go to the alternative school. It's not like that anymore. Suspension isn't used like it once was used. We have to work more with the students. And if you think back to the ACLU case that we just recently had, that was all about, and it's going across the whole state, it's not just up here, that's all about equity. And what the problem is with suspension, and the big fight with suspension, is you're taking the educational rights of the students away. So if you suspend them from school, you're taking them out of the classroom, and they're not learning, so you're taking that right away from them. And that
you
is,
said right.
That's correct.
Not privilege.
That is correct. They have a right until they are 18 to a free and appropriate public education.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, you mentioned, you know, the thing that kind of triggered a lot of this was the enrollment season, some of the challenges that are out there. The state has kind of come out with some of their preliminary funding or budget.
Right.
What do you see? What are you seeing in there? Is it okay? Is it something you can live with? Is it another we're going to have to cut back? What do you see out of the state budget as far as Eureka City Schools?
So Governor Brown has been very educationally friendly, and I give Brown a lot of credit. He's the most conservative Democrat I think I've ever seen. And when I say conservative, I'm talking fiscally conservative, because he faced a great wall of debt in regard to education. He faced a huge, he came in at a time when we were giving salary concessions out to employees, and it was just crazy the amount of cuts that were happening in education. And he's done a fantastic job of turning that around. We're certainly not funded at the level we'd like to be funded at, but we are almost the 50th out of 50 states in our funding level.
Per student?
Per student.
Not total money spent.
Per student, right. And now we're starting to raise up. We're still in the 40s, I believe. He's completely revamped the funding system, which hasn't been real friendly to Humboldt County, because we don't have the unduplicate account, which is, believe it or not, foster students, students of poverty, and English learners. We're sitting about average as far as the state. So we're the schools that have high numbers of those are getting a tremendous amount of funding. But this budget, we're doing well. And if you look over the projection, it's about $500,000 someplace in that region of what we'll be getting in new monies.
So a little breathing room.
It is.
Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you'll see then.